Most gang leaders vanish after a conviction. Not Tesha Miller. He's the man who was supposed to disappear. Yet every time the system tried to bury him, he came back more powerful. Born in the powder keg of Spanish Town during the 1990s gang wars, Miller didn't just survive, he mastered the chaos. From street soldier to supreme don of the Klansman gang, his rule was defined by bloody power plays, whispered alliances with politicians, and a grip on the protection tax system that drained local businesses dry. But it wasn't just the violence that made him infamous. It was the returns. Arrested, released, shot, survived, charged, acquitted, and always, somehow, still in control. It wasn't until the 2016 assassination of a JUTC chairman that authorities finally nailed him, allegedly ordering the hit from the shadows. But even in prison, his name haunts Spanish Town like a ghost with unfinished business. How does one man remain untouchable in a country drowning in political scandal, corruption, and bloodshed? What's the real cost of letting dons rule the streets? So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Rise of a Phantom. Don Tesha Miller didn't inherit the Klansman gang. He earned it. And to earn something in the killing fields of Spanish Town meant you had to bleed for it. Born into poverty in St. Catherine, he came of age during the height of Jamaica's 1990s gang wars, a time when bullets spoke louder than ballots, and dons had more influence than MPs. The early Klansman ranks were filled with men who learned brutality from necessity, not ideology. The gang's origins were entangled in political allegiance to the People's National Party, PNP, pitting them against the rival One Order gang, who was said to be aligned with the Jamaica Labour Party, JLP. Spanish Town became a chessboard of political warlords using young men like Tesha as pawns. But Tesha, he had other plans. Smart, quiet, and calculating, he studied how older dons moved, how they negotiated with politicians, how they used fear to extract taxes from shopkeepers, and how they manipulated the police with both cash and compromise. By his mid-20s, Tesha wasn't just a soldier. He was a strategist. When a power vacuum opened after the assassination of previous Klansman leaders, Tesha didn't rush. He waited until his rivals turned on each other, and then stepped into the ashes like a man walking out of fire. By the 2000s, Tesha Miller was Spanish Town royalty. His rule brought a twisted kind of order. Protection taxes were collected on time. Murders became more targeted, no longer reckless but message-driven. You paid, you lived, you betrayed, you vanished. The system ran smoother than government operations, and the government knew it. There were whispers of politicians using gang dons to rally votes in garrison communities, of late-night meetings with Tesha, of vehicles with government plates visiting his strongholds. But no one could prove anything. Not yet. In 2005, Tesha was arrested on illegal possession of a firearm. The country exhaled, but then came the shock. Acquitted. A wave of fear followed. Businesses paid up double. The message was clear. Even the carts can't touch me. By 2010, the name Tesha Miller was no longer just feared. It was respected in a twisted way. He attended church in bulletproof vests. Funeral processions stopped traffic. He gave out school books to children whose parents he may have taxed into poverty. His image was dual, don and philanthropist, monster and mentor. Police attempts to dismantle Klansmen continued. Raids came, arrests followed, but the structure remained. Always rebuilt, always loyal, always invisible. When he fled Jamaica in 2016 following a new warrant, many thought it was over, but he didn't flee out of fear. He fled because he knew what was coming. Days later, Michael Freckleton, a Jamaica Urban Transit Company, JUTC chairman and community leader, who had allegedly refused Klansmen's protection shakedown, was executed in cold blood. It would be years before the pieces of that murder led back to Tesha. But by then, he had already returned to Jamaica under a false name. Chapter 2. The Fall, or Just Another Disguise. Tesha Miller's 2016 return to Jamaica was meant to be quiet. He used a fake name, George Williams, slipping through the Norman Manley Airport like any ordinary man. But Tesha had never been ordinary. Police. Intelligence picked up his scent almost immediately. He was arrested, again. Charged with re-entering the country illegally, he was held briefly. Then came the bigger twist. Evidence had begun to surface linking Miller to the assassination of the JUTC chairman, Barrington Bossy Burton, a key witness. A former Klansman lieutenant turned state's witness came forward. In his testimony, he described Miller as the mastermind who ordered the hit from exile, furious that Burton had resisted extortion. The plan had been precise. Gunmen were ordered to carry out a message kill, one that would remind all of Spanish Town that no one refuses the tax. The courtroom saga began in 2019. For once, it wasn't Tesha on the offensive. It was the Jamaican state, throwing every resource at securing a conviction. The witness, who testified under heavy protection, outlined in chilling detail how Klansmen meetings were run like boardrooms, how orders for hits were spoken in riddles, and how fear was currency. The trial gripped the nation. Tesha, always stoic, showed no emotion. He denied it all, called it lies, political persecution, a stitch job. But the evidence mounted. Cell phone data, cross-reference testimonies, surveillance. The prosecution painted a picture of a don who ruled by fear, made decisions like a CEO, and evaded justice like a ghost. On December 3rd in 2019, the verdict came in. Guilty. Tesha Miller was sentenced to 38 years in prison. To many, it was the final chapter in a bloody saga, but not to everyone. In Spanish Town, people whispered that Tesha was still giving orders from behind bars, that Klansmen operations had only grown more sophisticated, that lieutenants had simply taken up the chain of command, rotating leadership while the real Don waited. In 2021, a massive Klansmen trial involving 33 alleged members made headlines. Again, Tesha's name surfaced. Again, his presence was felt without ever being seen. How does a man, locked away, still rule a community? How does a nation claim to have defeated crime when its symbols still move like shadows? The answer lies in the system, where politics, poverty, and power form a triangle no bullet can break. Tesha Miller didn't just exploit that system. He became part of it. And until that triangle is dismantled, men like Tesha don't fall. They wait, they watch, and when the time is right, they rise.